Be seated, but you're already seated. If you got your Bibles, if you turn back to Matthew chapter 8, we're going to be there all morning. Matthew chapter 8. This past Monday, I got to go on a ride along with a local city police officer. We went at night. I rode in the front, not the back. And I got to tell you, it was an exciting night. There was a host of, we pulled people over. There was chases. We had to find somebody in the woods. At one point, I played the Cops theme song on my, the Bad Boys theme on my phone, just to give it a little nuance. I saw this police officer, ask people for their licenses. I saw him take their names. I saw him talk to people. I saw him just pass by someone walking on the road and just stopped and asked them what they were doing. And I gained a even more. I already have a lot of respect for our public servants, but I gained a whole lot more that night. Just all of the many things they have to deal with on a daily basis. And I will tell you what I did not see. I did not see anybody talking back to him. I didn't see anybody doing that. He talked and they listened. He asked for something, they gave it to him. Some of them shook as they, gave it. One of them, they didn't even do anything wrong. They had a taillight out. He just pulled them over and said, "Can I just make sure you got a license?" And the guy was just shaking like crazy. And the officer asked him, are you okay? And he said, "Yeah, I'm just nervous." And he said, "What are you nervous about?" He said, "I've never been pulled over." He said, "How old are you?" He said, 72. And he said, "You've never been pulled over?" He said, "No, sir. I've never been pulled over before." And he said, "Well, welcome to the club." He said, this is what it feels like. So in case these people thought that they maybe had something to say, this police officer had a lot going for him that kind of let him, he had authority over everybody else. So look, let's just kind of go through the list. So he had lights. He had blue lights. He had sirens. He had a badge. He had a black uniform. And he had a gun. So he had all those things going for him that when he comes up to the car, this guy has authority. There are a lot of professionals in our country who wear something or who have something that you recognize their authority. So if you see a white coat, who is that? Yeah, it's obviously a doctor or somebody who just wants to wear a white coat. But if you're in the hospital and y'all know how, if you've been in the hospital, you know how it is. Doctors make their rounds. You don't know what time they're going to be there. It could be anywhere. It's like the cable company, anywhere between 8 and 8, So you got to wait, for them to come in. And when they come in, they've got on the white coat. I don't know if they still wear the stethoscope, doctors. Okay, good. So they still have this. And they come in and you think, okay, here's the one. And you've got all these questions you want to ask. And you ask the doctor and they sit with you or the nurses. Nurses come in, they've got scrubs on. I don't think any of you have been in the hospital and a nurse came in with a striped pantsuit and, a clipboard. She's got scrubs. There are identifying markers that let us know who's got the authority in the room. Got a good friend who's an attorney, and she always wears a great suit and she carries a nice briefcase. And I can usually spot the attorneys because they've got the nice suits and the nice briefcase. All of these things are little things that kind of put your mind at ease, that somebody's got a diagnosis for you, somebody's got counsel for you, somebody, if it's a police officer, somebody's got orders for you, and you have a choice whether to follow them or not. Now, I know all these people give us advice, and they give us counsel, and they give us orders, but at the end of the day, you and I have a choice on whether or not we're going to follow their orders, correct? I mean, this is America. If a police officer pulls you over and asks for your license, you don't have to give him your license. And you may think you do. Those of you who are just starting driving, don't smile just yet, okay? If the police officer pulls you over and he says, "Can I have your license and your registration?" You don't have to give it to him. Matter of fact, you can just drive away if you want to. It's entirely up to you. It's not like they put a boot on your car when they pull you over. You keep the car running so you can take off. Now, there are consequences. If you do that, I mean, I wouldn't advise that, but you can do that. When a doctor gives you a diagnosis, you don't have to listen to them. They tell you to stop eating so much, stop eating, your cholesterol's too high, your sugar's out of control. You've got to get your diet under control. You've got to stop smoking. You've got to stop drinking. You've got to start exercising. Let me tell y'all something. You don't have to do what the doctor tells you. You don't. And I know that because half of you don't. Let's just be honest. The doctor tells you that and you don't do it. That's the great thing about this country. You don't have to do what people tell you. Now, there are consequences to that. If they tell you to get your sugar under control and you don't and you've got diabetes, there's some serious consequences. But you don't, if an attorney gives you advice, you don't have to take it. You can just scream at the judge if you want to. Now, there's consequences to that. You can do whatever you want to do. But here's what I've noticed, and this is especially true in America. We don't like listening to people. We don't like, when a doctor tells you something, what do you want? Second opinion. And where do we get our second opinions from? WebMD, that's right. The internet, that's right. Yeah, doctor can't be right because I looked it up on the internet and they say something totally different, right? Police officer can't be right. They told me I was going 85 and a 60, but it can't be, right? Surely they're not right. Surely I wasn't going that fast. We are slow to do what people tell us to do. Here's my main question this morning. What sign does Jesus have that he has any authority over your life? If I told you to pull over, would you do it? Probably not. But if I put on them blue lights, you might. If I came in and told you that I think that you eat too much and your cholesterol's too high, would you believe me? Well, of course not. But if I had on a white coat, you might. Jesus doesn't have any of this going for him. Have y'all noticed what people say about Jesus? Isn't this Joseph's boy? Isn't this the guy from little town of Nazareth? What does he know anyway? They don't trust him. They don't believe him. So here's my question. What is Jesus going to have to do to get you to listen to him? What is Jesus going to have to do to get you to trust him with your life? Because I've met a lot of preachers, and they wear nice suits, and they drive nice cars. Not me. But they drive nice cars. They say fancy things. I've met a couple of preachers that preach in front of 10,000 people. And I got to tell you, I don't trust them. No. I don't care what they wear. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. I don't trust them. I just don't trust them. It doesn't mean I don't trust preachers. I don't trust any of you. It's hard for me to trust anybody, and you're probably the same. What is Jesus going to have to do to get you to listen to him and trust him? This morning, I want to show you how Jesus pulls it off. He doesn't have a badge. He doesn't have a suit. But he does do something that demonstrates to you that you ought to listen to what he has to say, and you ought to give your life to him. In Matthew, this is right after the Sermon on the Mount. So we spent a few weeks in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, if you remember that. And in Matthew 8 and 9, now Jesus has decided he's going to show you why you ought to listen to him in the first place. Now remember, we don't listen to anybody, which is why Jesus is so surprised when he meets this centurion in chapter 8. Look at chapter 8. Let's look at verse 5. So when Jesus entered Capernaum, there's only three little stories, so it's real quick. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him. He said, "Lord, my servant lies at home paralyzed, and he's in terrible suffering." So I want you to imagine, you go, y'all remember Little House on the Prairie? You go get Doc Baker, right? Any of you not remember Little House on the Prairie? Now I feel old. So he came to him, hey, my son's sick, heard you the medicine man in town, why don't you come heal him? And Jesus said, "Let's go. We on the way." And in verse 8, here's where Jesus gets shocked. The centurion says, "Hey, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. I'll tell you what, why don't you just say the word and my servant will be healed. Look, I'm a man under authority. I got people under me. I tell this one go and he goes. I tell this one come and he comes. I say to this servant do this and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he was astonished. And he said to those following him, "Watch this. I tell you the truth. I have not found anyone in Israel with such what? Not faith, but what? Big faith." Yeah, a big amount of faith here. "When I tell you to jump, you should say, 'How high?'" That's right. The centurion says, "Look, man, I got people under me. When I say jump, they say, 'Yes, sir, how high?' So I know authority when I'm looking at it. I see you. If you just say heal, I know he's healed. Don't waste your time. We ain't got to go. That's a lot of mileage, man." And Jesus says, "Well, I'll be. I ain't seen faith this big in a while." Church, Jesus doesn't have to be next to you to heal you. Now, if that don't say authority, I don't know what does. Because I got to go to the doctor. I got to get a prescription from them. I got to take it to the pharmacist, who's going to take another hour to fill it. And then I come back and got to stand in line to get my prescription. And then I get the pills, and it says may take 4 or 5 days to take effect. You know how long 4 or 5 days? I could be dead by then before the pills take place. It takes all this time just to start feeling better. Jesus doesn't need to be near you to do this. So when you go to God in prayer, please don't think you're all by yourself. He don't need to be sitting in here with you to help you out. He's got that kind of power. He's got that kind of power over distance. How much more do you need? Let's look at the next story. Look at the one that Jaheim read. Look at verse 23. So he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. And without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. And the disciples went and woke him. They said, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And he replies, hope y'all caught this. Oh, you of, y'all catch it? Centurion, whoo, we got some big faith. Gets to his own kids, ooh, itty bitty faith. Says, oh, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? I know why they're so afraid. They thought they're going to die. Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed, and they said, who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Y'all see that word here, verse 24. Without warning, my Bible has a furious storm came up over the lake. I know we've seen storm stories in the Bible. I know we got, you know, it rains and it pours and the storms beat. This word that you have in here for storm is a little different. In fact, it only occurs 10 times in the New Testament. Only 10 times. Nine out of the 10. It's used to translate, the word they use to translate it is earthquake. It's earthquake. So 9 out of the 10 times, they translate this Greek word earthquake. This is the only time that they don't translate it earthquake because it's in the water. This kind of storm is not a storm. It's what I think the King James maybe calls a tempest. It's an earthquake in water. So please don't think, you know, the waves is beating on and things got a little rough. This is a massive squall. And the disciples, I got, you know, let's just think. How many of you were in the Navy? How many of you were in the Navy? Only one of us. I imagine Roy was on a boat at some point. I'm just guessing here. Good guess. Right. I imagine Roy was on a boat. I imagine Roy has seen more than his fair share of water. I imagine Roy has seen more water than he probably ever cared to see in the middle of the ocean. These guys are not rookies. These guys work on water for a living. So when a storm comes and they say, we're going to die, it's probably a storm unlike anyone they've seen before. And where's the captain at? Sawing logs under, you know, way down here. You know, where's the captain? Oh, he's asleep. Let me ask y'all this. If Jesus is sleeping through your problem, don't you think it's not that big of a deal? If Jesus would sleep through your storm, why are you so scared? I mean, if he's not scared, why are you scared? If he's not worried about it, why are you worried about it? What's it going to take for you to trust him? Not only does Jesus not have to be around you to help you, the word in your Bible when it rebukes the winds and the waves, that word there is punishes. He punishes the winds and the waves. So he just tells Mother Nature what to do. The guy has that kind of power. So he has the power to do whatever he wants and he doesn't have to be near you. And he has the power to change the course of nature if he wants to. They get off the boat and they head into one more storm. Verse 28. They arrive at the other side of the region of the Gadarenes. And two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. What do you want with us, Son of God? They shouted. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? It's interesting here. The Greek is literally, you're early. What do you want with us? You're early. Were they expecting him? Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs were feeding. And the demons begged Jesus. They said, look, if you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs. And he said to them, one word, go. So they came out and they went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake, and they died in the water. And those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town, reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And then the whole town went out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. Y'all remember the movie Crocodile Dundee? Y'all don't remember anything this morning. Okay. Man. Okay. Thanks. So there's this part, and if you don't remember Crocodile Dundee, you should go watch it. I don't remember if it was bad or if it had language. I don't know, but I think it was PG. So, you know, how can you not like Crocodile Dundee? It's classic. If you didn't see it, that's your homework for the day. Go watch that movie. So there's one part in Crocodile Dundee, this guy from Australia, he's really not versed to things in capitalistic America. And he comes across this animal that looks pretty dangerous, and he has this trick. He goes out and he puts his hand out, and somehow he hypnotizes the animal, and the animal just, lies down and goes to sleep. Now, when I was like 6 or 7, I thought that was cool. So I tried it. It didn't work. Okay? I almost lost my hand. Because I thought, I'm going to be Crocodile Dundee and try to put him to sleep. What I should have done is just bought a big knife. Okay? That would have taken care of the problem, like Crocodile Dundee. One of my friends came in from out of town this past fall. And we were out together, and there was a big dog. And my friend is a lover of dogs. He trains dogs. And I saw this dog, and this dog looked mangy. I don't touch dogs, I don't know. I barely touch dogs, I do know. But I came to this dog, and I kind of took 2 steps back, and my friend went right up to it, and that dog's lip curled. Now, I don't know about y'all. That's a good sign you need to back away, okay? If a dog lip curled, that's a warning. You should leave. My friend, the lip curled, my friend looked at it, and he said, oh, it's okay. I thought, you're going to lose your hand, man. And he walked up, and he kind of stared at the dog. And he got down in the dog's face, and he stared at the dog, and he cocked his head, and he stared at the dog some more, didn't touch it. And all of a sudden, the dog uncurled its lip and bowed its head and just laid down. And I thought, Crocodile Dundee has arisen from the grave. He's not even Australian. I said, how'd you do that? He said, I had to show the dog who's the alpha. I said, show me how to be alpha. He said, you're not an alpha. I said, well, I want to be the alpha. He said, it takes special, you gotta have a lot of power to be the alpha. I said, I want that power. And he said, the dog has to recognize it in you. I said, how long does it take? He said, as long as it takes. I said, what if it had taken 45 minutes? He said, then it takes 45 minutes. I said, man, we would have stayed here for 45 minutes. He said, we would have stayed here for 45 minutes until this dog learns that I'm the alpha. And I said, that's why I don't want to be the alpha. That takes entirely too much time right there. I'm fine with being beta or whatever, gamma. I don't care. 3, 4, 5, as long as I can go in plenty of time. But I thought of that in reading this scene earlier this week. I thought of my friend, and I thought of Crocodile Dundee. The devil knows who's the alpha. Let me clue y'all in. Whatever demon you've got, whatever you've got, that's controlling you, I promise you, it knows who the alpha is. It knows. It's not you. It's Christ. Christ is the alpha. But if these demons have control of you, it's not because Christ is not the alpha, it's because you don't have Christ in you. And that's why they've got you. What's it going to take for you to understand that Jesus has authority? He can do anything. He doesn't need to be next to you. He doesn't have to be right in the vicinity. He can control Mother Nature, and he has the power to control anything that's in you. So the question is this. If he has the authority and he has the power, why are our lives such a wreck? Why is there such an earthquake-like storm that goes on inside of our souls? Is it because Jesus is not strong enough? Maybe it's the devil, right? Like your grandma used to say. Maybe it's the devil. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, says, in order to rob the strong man's house, You have to first go in and tie up the strong man. Jesus is here to tie up the strong man. And so if your house is a wreck, is the problem that the devil's too strong? Or is the problem that you won't allow Jesus to rule your life? I think the problem is what I told you at the very beginning. We don't trust anyone. And we're afraid to let anybody have control of our life. If y'all notice this, there are three stories: a pagan, demons, and disciples. Did you catch who the only group was who didn't recognize who's right in front of them? Did y'all catch that? The pagan, remember the centurion? Jesus says, "Let's go." The centurion says, "Hoo, hoo, hoo. Hey, man, I know power when I see it. I'm a general. Huh. When I say jump, they say how high. When you say jump, how high? I bow to you." Jesus says, "Huh, I ain't seen faith this big in a minute." What about the demons? Did you catch it? Jesus shows up, and what do the demons say? "What do you want with us? What? Son of God, you're early." Jesus didn't get off the boat with a name tag, JC, Christ, in case y'all need to know the little, you know, my name is Jesus. No, he didn't have that. The demons know who they're talking to. They understand power when they see it. They know that. Now, did you catch the last line that Jaheim read when he read our text? The squall comes up. Jesus looks at the waves. He says, "Get out of here." He does a little Crocodile Dundee thing to the winds and the waves. And the winds and the waves say, "Ooh, we're going to just lay down." Jesus is the Alpha over a white squall. And the disciples look to him, and what do they say? "Who is this guy?" The pagans know who he is. The devil knows who he is. But good church-going Christian folk have no clue who they're looking at. Does that sound familiar to your life? The problem is not Christ, and the problem is not the devil. The problem is that we are afraid to turn our life over. Because when you do, you're afraid you're going to lose your identity. I've been grieving for a long time. I've been hurting for a long time. And if I turn that over, I don't know who I can be. But you see, that's the point. We got to clean out our house so that we have nothing left, so that we can finally follow him. I guess what I'm telling you is you're going to have to stop trying to be the alpha of your life and give it over to somebody else. And I'm not sure we have the strength to do it. But we have to. Our souls depend on it. Here's what I'd like for us to try. I'd like for all of you to tell the devil to give it his best shot. Now, I won't do that. Why not? You think he's stronger than you? Guess what? He is. You got no hope. I mean, he's a big dude. And he can take any form. He can take the form of your best friend. He can take the form of a glass, of a liquid, of a substance. He can do whatever he wants. You are no match for him. You will not win. But if you'll stop being the alpha and turn it over to the one who is, then let the devil take his best shot. I promise you, the devil will lay down like a dog. Because even the devil knows who the alpha is. And if the devil knows who the alpha is, why don't you? This morning, I'd like for you to give it one shot. I'd like for you to call upon the Lord. I'd like for you to turn your life over to him. Some of you have already been baptized. Some of you have not. If you haven't been baptized, this is the moment to turn your life over. And if you have been baptized, it's time for you to actually turn it over. I know you were baptized. I know you got buried in the water. It's time for you to let all that go and lay down. And let God run your life. You'll be surprised. You will be shocked at how fast nature and cancer and sickness and people will fall off. I didn't say you got healed, but you'll be surprised at how less you're stressed about those things because they don't run your life anymore. They are not the alpha of your life. You are not the alpha of your life. Christ is. Give it one shot. See how fast he can make it work. I had 30 minutes left in my ride along. Now, let me preface this last thing with this. When I got in the car, the officer said, hey, I tried to buckle my seatbelt. He said, that don't work. I said, okay. But you were the police officer. What could go wrong, right? He said, there's a penny down in the buckle, the little button thing. Somebody dropped a penny down there, and you can't stick the, that part into that part. He said, it'll be fine. You know, I don't expect anything. I got 30 minutes left before my ride along. Something comes over the speaker, or the CB. I can't even think of what this stuff's called. We don't use them anymore. Yeah, the radio. There we go. Comes over the radio. It says, a police officer requesting assistance. They've got a runner. So they're trying to stop a burglary. And the cop got him, but the guy took off. And he's heading down. It's called Franklin Road. We were at the Lebanon Square. Okay, I know some of you are not familiar with Lebanon. I think it's got to be like 6 miles away to overpass the Hartman Drive exit. So it's 236 exit on I-40 East. Okay, we're on West Main. Which, if you don't know Lebanon, you know what West Main would be, okay? It's just, you know, this long dragon street. All of a sudden, we went from going 20 miles an hour to like Mach 1 in Star Trek. And we're taking a turn. We took a turn so fast, like my feet kind of like whipped around a little bit. And that's when it dawns on me, I don't have a seatbelt. You know, I hadn't really thought about it till then. I don't have a seatbelt. We hit this little ramp thing, and I just happened to look over, and the speedometer's hitting 120. I don't have a seatbelt. If anybody pulls out in front of me, I'm dead. I don't mean like, oh, I'm going to be, no, like this is going to hurt. No. I'm dead. Like, I'm going through this windshield. I'm going to go 120 miles an hour, and the police officer whipped around someone, and then he gassed it even more. And it's like the front of the car picked up. And tunnel vision kicks in. And I got a little nauseated. And I thought, this is nuts. And then he took this turn and went right in the driveway, flipped his lights on, and jumped out of the car. And for the first time, I went, you know, my hands going like this. And I'm looking over, and then I realized again, I have no seatbelt. I got to get out of here. This guy's going to kill me. And the woman came outside, and she said, I can't believe how fast you came. And he said, you call, we come. And I thought, you know, I don't want to be in this car no more. But it feels nice to know that if I made that call, I hope this cop's on duty. Because he did everything he could to come to her aid as fast as he could. This morning I ask you to call upon God. Call upon him to come be the Alpha in your life, to come to your home, to come to your work, to come to your life, and to save you. I promise you, you will be surprised at how fast he gets there.